Right, welcome back to another episode of Pop Ranks, where we rank the best and worst of pop culture. I am your co-host, Eric Wickstrom.
And I'm your other co-host, Scott Carroll.
And this is a companion piece to another episode we recently recorded where we ranked the best heroes in the history of cinema. And today we're going to take a look at the villains.
The villains. Dive into darkness with the villains.
Our top 10 villains in the history of cinema. Now, again, cinema. We're not talking television.
Right. No TV, no books. This is purely cinema. Although some of these villains may have come from books originally, or comic books.
But these are strictly based on the performances caught on film and for cinema purposes. Again, I would say it was funny putting this list together. I found it difficult to...
Very difficult.
To pick out villains... I find there's more better choices, or at least more interesting choices in television for me.
Interesting. Well, it's always, I mean, picking villains is, I mean, all this is always subjective. I mean, what makes a great villain? You know, is it just someone who's just a completely unredeemable jerk? I mean, or is it who does, you know, evil acts? Is it someone who does something on a global scale, on a personal scale?
Also, what your definition of evil is, what your definition
of
bad deeds are. I mean, again, looking at television, you know, Tony Soprano, is that that's the hero of the show, or is that the villain of the show?
Or Dexter, he's a serial
Dexter
killer.
Dexter is a great example.
Kills other serial killers.
Right, so. Walter White, anti-hero, but he's also a meth dealer. So, again, I think Gus Fring from Breaking Bad. There's a lot of interesting villains, I think, on television, and that's because, and I think we discussed it on the Heroes episode, it's such a longer amount of time to develop these characters and to live with them. And in a movie, you've got 90 minutes to 2 hours, basically, unless it's a Cameron or Tarantino film, in which case you've got like 3 or 4 hours. But generally speaking, you're in that two-hour window to develop this character from A to Z, which is really difficult.
And hopefully we picked 10 completely irredeemable assholes.
Right. And unlike... I'm looking at my list right here. There's a few on here that are, you know, as part of a series of films.
Sure.
Generally speaking, it's a one-off, you know, a lot of these characters. And so it's really difficult to form, you know, well, usually like the bad guy gets beat every movie and the hero comes back to face new bad guys. So it's the hero gets 3, 4, 5 takes. And I think our heroes list, all of those, for most part, were sequels of those characters. Whereas this, a lot of these people are just one-off. So to make this list is a credit to the actors, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, any actor will tell you, playing a villain is a lot more satisfying and fun than playing a hero. There's a lot more delve into. There's a lot more layers to the character, particularly if they've got some kind of underlying motivation or history. It's always a lot more fun to do that. So I don't know who you have on your list. We're going to find out in a minute.
Well, did you put anybody did anybody from Face Off make your list?
From Face Off, no.
That's so on that point you just made, like Travolta, that's a great example. Travolta's fine in Face Off, but he's a blast playing the bad guy.
Absolutely.
The good guy, he's like, all right, but the bad guy, he's awesome in that. It's one of my favorite Travolta films. I thought about it for this list. They didn't make a cast for Troy.
We'll have to do a Travolta ranking at some point.
I can't sit through like the baby's talking thing again.
I won't make your list.
I can't do it.
One thing I will say, again, I don't know who you have on your list. Things I left off my list completely just to kind of give it a little bit of depth is, again, with the comic books, you could fill 10, you know, MCU or DC villains across the board.
Thanos did not make my list.
Thanos did not make my list either. So, I mean, I don't want to overkill this with comic book villains. And then the other thing I left off is a lot of the horror villains. Because I feel like, I mean, a lot of people could easily say Freddy, Jason, Michael Myers.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. They're all great villains. But, I mean, is there really any depth to them? They're more like an evil, unstoppable force.
Spoiler alert. One of them may have made my list.
Okay.
So let's talk about the ones we have in common.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll start with the ones we have in common, and then we'll each talk about the ones we don't have in common.
Okay.
And then we'll rank these suckers. So I would say, unlike my heroes list, which is almost half women, no women made my list of villains.
Okay, I'll defer to that. Okay, I think we've got something there.
And, there's one that, I don't know, could be, could not be, depending, but we'll get to that.
Okay.
So first one we have in common, Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter, yes, Clarice, the lamb stopped screaming.
Yes, 15
excellent
minutes of screen
choice.
Time. 15 minutes of screen time.
But unforgettable screen
Stole
time.
Stole the movie.
Absolutely.
Anthony Hopkins won the Oscar.
Best actor, oddly enough, for that 15 minutes of screen
work.
Yes,
not supporting.
Yeah, I mean, that character goes back to Thomas Harris's novel Red Dragon, which was the introduction. They made that movie twice. First, as Manhunter, Michael Mann's Manhunter, with Brian Cox. So for any Succession fans out there, Brian Cox, one of his first big roles was playing Hannibal Lecter in that film. And then later, once Anthony Hopkins got the role in Silence of the Lambs and took off, eventually they went back and redid that movie, aptly naming it Red Dragon, where he did the film. And then Mads Mikkelsen played him on TV quite well, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, if we ever ranked Hannibal Lecters, he'd be my second favorite. Not that there's a lot. But,
yeah, it's, I mean, clearly there's a number one, and that's, again, talking about the original Silence of the Lambs. Buffalo Bill is, you know, I've seen him on lists, people have ranked villains. Yeah. He's also, to your point, Hopkins just steals the movie so thoroughly that Buffalo Bill is kind of an afterthought.
And just the build-up to his character, when they give you the good introduction, like, don't approach the glass, don't talk to him, and she slowly walks down that hallway, and she kind of gets to his cell, and he's just like a glass... He's in a glass enclosure, and he's just standing there looking at her.
Very slight. He's not a large. He's not a huge man. This is not Bane of the comic books like we're talking about, or Thanos. This is not a large, imposing figure. He's a very slightly built man and just terrifying.
But he's got that scowl on his face like he's an animal waiting to strike.
Right.
He's got, you know, his recessed eyes, and he's slightly pale, his hair slicked back. And you just know if there was no partition there, he would go after you like, you know, you'd be his dinner.
Yes. Amazing, amazing character. You know, again, Anthony Hopkins absolutely murdered the role. No pun intended.
Literally.
also on both our lists, Hans Landa.
Hans Landa, what an irredeemable, crazed Nazi psychopath. Yes. Another brilliant Academy Award winning performance, though.
Played by?
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz.
In the film Inglorious Bastards.
Right. I don't think anybody had really heard of Christoph Waltz at that point.
No, I know.
I don't know where they found them. I forget the story with that. But I know Tarantino has been very vocal about the fact that if he had not found him, this film probably would not have gotten made because he couldn't find anyone to play the role the way he envisioned it.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a brilliantly written role, but...
I mean, I had no idea who this guy was. And when I came out, my wife said, how's the movie? She hadn't gone with me. And I said, I don't know. They've got this German actor playing the lead villain. I said, I don't know who he is, but I think they should just give him the Oscar right now.
And they did, basically.
And they did.
They gave him everything.
Yep.
He literally took home all of it. And then a few years later, he does Django Unchained, wins another Oscar for that.
Number two.
Again, not really more of a hero character in that.
Kind of an anti-hero. I mean, well, he's a bounty hunter, so he's not a bad guy.
But here, he's just through and through bad
evil.
Guy.
Evil.
And as most Nazis were. And really just an amazing, amazing performance.
Yeah, but he plays that role with just a glee. It's like he likes what he's doing.
He's good at it.
And if you say the wrong word in front of him, he'll just...
Right.
You know, he'll have you arrested and imprisoned. And
he takes pride in what he does for a living, and he's the best in the world at doing it, and it does bring him sadistic joy. But
gets a satisfying comeuppance at the end.
Well, not all the way
not
satisfying.
Not completely.
You know, I mean, as satisfying, I guess, as you could have
in that
situation. But both our lists, fantastic. A couple more here on both our lists. We only had... unlike the heroes, where I think we had half the list, this one we only have four in common. So I'm curious to see what the other ones are. The Joker.
The Joker.
Now.
Very high on my list.
He's pretty high on my list as well. I think the character of the Joker, I didn't know how to rank this one because are we ranking a specific Joker or just the character of the Joker? So if we're going with specific Joker, I'm, of course, going to say Heath Ledger.
And I would wholeheartedly agree.
If we were ranking the character of the Joker, he might have even made number one for me, to be honest with you. But since I have to go a specific performance, I'm going to go with Heath Ledger's. Although my favorite Joker might be Mark Hamill's, to be honest, from the animated series. But I also really enjoy Nicholson's take on it.
I've liked all of them in one degree or another. I mean, this character's been around as long as Batman.
Yeah.
You know,
Cesar Romero played a wonderful Joker.
Cesar Romero, but again, around since, you know, 1940, played by all sorts of actors. I agree. I mean, to me, I loved Jack Nicholson when I saw Nicholson in the movie. And to me, he exemplified what the comic book was like.
Yes.
And in some way to what Cesar Romero did, although Cesar Romero had mustache painted over famously in white. When I heard they cast Heath Ledger, I'm like, the kid from 10 Things I Hate About You?
Yep.
He's a romantic lead. He's not a villain. He's the Brokeback Mountain guy, the Knight's Tale guy. I didn't see it. And then they released that, I don't remember, that first image which was like an extreme close-up of his face, and you saw the smeared makeup.
Yeah.
And you went, oh, wait a minute. They're going a different direction. And then when he played it, he didn't play it like the comic book that we, or the animated version right. that we kind of know. But man, did he blow everybody off.
And there's
off
also the like
that movie. You know, my God.
Jared Leto, I didn't hate his take on the character.
I did.
I didn't enjoy it, but I thought it was a weird take, but I didn't hate it. Scott hated it. But I did enjoy Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, he was very good. Again, a different take on the character, a different origin story yeah, of the character.
Like but a Rupert Pumpkin became the Joker. That's what that story right. was.
No, Rupert Pumpkin, that's King of Comedy.
Right. If he had become the Joker.
If he had become the Joker, yes.
That's the take yeah. he went with. But, yeah, I mean, overall, again, we just named, what, five, six yeah. big-time actors.
To be fair to Leto, apparently his part got really, really cut in
yeah,
post.
But if you read the stories, he went off the deep end like a nut job doing it as a method actor, yeah. mailing dead rats to people in the mail and really making the cast and crew really uncomfortable the whole time. He's a little bit of a wackadoo in real life, it seems like. But yeah, great character. Love the Joker. And again, for the purposes of this, I ranked it with Heath
very
Ledger.
High, very high.
Very high with Heath Ledger in mind. And then the last thing we had in common on both these lists, pretty high on my list, Darth Vader.
Darth Vader. Yep. Very high on my list. Spoiler alert.
I think we might have been synced up on this.
The villain of my favorite film. Can't be ignored. But what's interesting about even Darth Vader, right from his entrance
yes.
in the first film, I mean, he's just like a classic villain. Garbed in black from head to toe.
Yep.
The long flowing cape, the raspy voice. You know something's going on with his voice. And even the first time he talks, it's while he's choking someone to
right.
death. So what better entrance for a villain than
it's ominous.
Like that?
It's clouded in mystery. Who is this guy? What is this? There's all sorts of videos that are funny on social media of like dogs seeing him come on screen for the first time and like getting yeah. scared and barking at him. Like even dogs know right away, this guy is no good. And, but it's funny, like the character is physically imposing, but really what makes this character what it is the voice.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you go back, they're online, you can Google it, the original actor
yeah.
voice in yeah. the scenes.
Dave Prowse, who did the physical performance
yes.
in the Star Wars films, I guess he was speaking the lines, and he's English.
Yeah.
So it's like, I mean, I know. Where are all the plans?
Yeah.
Where are the plans?
That's even better than what he did. It is, thank God they changed it, because it would, but Darth Vader wouldn't have even made the list, I don't think, let alone be where he is on this list if it wasn't for James Earl Jones's voice. And now Vader, you know, in how many, four of the original story, right?
Well, if you include Rogue One, right. So
five then, so five.
You've got the original trilogy, the prequel trilogy.
Which is the third one in Rogue One. So five in the original thing, but he also was, also now with Disney doing The Mandalorian.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And so this character continues to live on. I keep hoping they're going to do a Vader series. Why they haven't done it, they did one for Kenobi and they've done all these other things, but they haven't done one for Vader. I think there's a very interesting thing in between the events of episode 3 and New Hope.
Yeah.
All that time where Vader gets kind of reconstructed, and I know in the comic books he goes off to his island and living in isolation. And I think there's a really interesting 6-part series to tell there.
It's an interesting character.
Yeah.
I mean, you can argue maybe the prequels by showing you what happened takes a little bit of the mystery out of the character, but you know, a character who's conflicted, who was once a good man and fell towards evil. Why did he fall towards evil to become this most despised force in the universe? And boy, you would not want this guy as a boss.
No.
You make one mistake and you know, you're getting chokeholded,
right.
Force choked.
I will say, as far as bosses go, you know where you stand, which is always nice. There's nothing passive aggressive about Darth Vader. He is just aggressive and yeah.
And we have to talk about that scene in Rogue One, which was a prequel to the original Star Wars. So there's a very famous scene where he's going after the plans that the rebels have just stolen, and there's a hallway scene where you just see him in full action fury going through these guys like butter.
Right.
He's cutting them down, he's lifting them off the ground with the force and choking them, making him like a very intimidating force that you just can't stop.
Yes.
Until, of course, he's redeemed later on.
Yes.
You know, by his only son.
Right. With the tremendous help of Han Solo.
With the tremendous help of Han Solo.
So
here we go again.
Yeah, call back to the Heroes episode. So those are the ones we have in common. And now there's a bunch on our list. I don't think we're going to have too much disagreement, but there are six on each list that did not make the other one. So starting with me, in no particular order, we'll rank them later. Mm-hmm. On my list, I have Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. That's an interesting choice.
From Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Played by Joe Pesci, an absolute unredeemable psychopath.
That's a real funny choice.
Yeah. I'm a funny guy. I'm here to amuse you, Scott. Again, played by Joe Pesci brilliantly.
Oscar-winning performance.
You know, one of the shortest acceptance speeches in the history of the Oscars.
That is true.
And well-deserved Oscar. But again, unredeemable, sociopathic person. Apparently, the real guy that it was based on was even worse.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine that.
I've seen some documentaries. Apparently, the guy that he was based on was completely, you know, psychotic. And so anyway, in my all-time favorite movie and the baddest bad guy in my all-time favorite movie.
And it was interesting seeing Pesci in that role because Pesci, I mean, although he's a dramatic actor, I think he was known primarily for a lot of comedic work. Certainly, you know, everyone knows him from My Cousin Vinny and other things. But he was in Raging Bull with De Niro.
Yes, that was.
But wow, what an intimidating character.
Yes. So anyway, made my list of all-time villains.
Okay. I'm gonna cheat a little bit on this one. We were talking about women and how, you know, we didn't have a lot of women on the heroes, and Eric said he didn't really have any on the villains. This one's a tie. It's on my list, but I have it as a tie because on any given day, I'll flip back and forth. And I really couldn't decide which one to put. So I said, I'm just going to put them. And I'm just going to label this bad caretakers or bad nurses. Mm-hmm. And that's a toss-up between Nurse Ratchet in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or Annie Wilkes in Misery. Both Oscar-winning performances, Louise Fletcher for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and Kathy Bates for Misery. Not two people you would want looking over you if you were incapacitated or in need of some
both interesting
help.
Choices. You are cheating.
I am cheating.
This is a first for the podcast. This is not part of the game. The house
I'm
rules.
Breaking the rules this once.
So I guess we'll have to allow it. But yeah,
bad
those
caretakers.
Are both good choices. I would probably. If you have to pick one, I don't know.
Do you want to be lobotomized or be hobbled? I guess that's the choice.
I'd like to be hobbled.
You'd like to be hobbled. Okay.
Yeah. I'd rather have a limp than have my frontal lobe cut off.
Hobbling will heal.
Or not. I can limp fine. I just, I need the front of my brain. So, all right. Those are both good. On my list, not on your list. I can't believe this one didn't make your list in any way or any of the we talked about earlier. Okay. Freddy Krueger.
Well, again, I gave a little bit of preface to the start of this. I mean, again, a great character. Probably of all the horror villains, probably the one with the most personality.
By far the most personality. Yeah. He's again, if we're talking the big three, it's him, Jason, and Michael Myers. Michael Myers and Jason are mutes, functioning mutes, basically. Don't say a word ever. Freddy, he's got a really sinister backstory with the abuse of the children, that the townspeople burn him to death. He haunts nightmares. I think Freddy, of all the horror characters ever, is probably the most interesting one. And he's played just amazingly by Robert.
The man knows how to sell that makeup, Robert Englund.
Robert Englund, thank you. Yeah, can sell the makeup, made a career off of him. And yeah, I mean, that's my favorite horror franchise.
Yeah.
And my favorite horror character. And he's pretty high on my list. And
not somebody I would want to meet in my dreams or my nightmares, so
yes.
to speak.
So anyway, made my list, did not make your list. Who's okay. next on the...
Next on mine, I'm going to pick Dracula. I mean, I don't think any list would be complete without Count Dracula. I looking into some research on this, I found out he's the second most adapted literary character to film. Meaning, with all the movies and the TV shows, the second most literary character, you know what number one is?
I'm trying to think. Number one...
I thought Dracula was number one, but no.
Number one fictional character adapted to the screen across television, across everything. Gosh, it's not Batman.
No, you want a hint?
Sure,
detective
Batman.
Nope,
it's It's not Dick Tracy.
No, Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes.
Really?
Yep. But anyway, Sherlock Holmes, story for another day. No, I picked Dracula. I mean, you've got the original novel by Bram Stoker, adapted originally 1921-22 into Nosferatu, the very famous German silent film.
Yep.
Where actually he wasn't called Dracula because they kind of stole the rights to the character when they made that film and then just made their own version, got sued, but and the film was supposed to be destroyed, survived, it's become a classic. Probably Bela Lugosi, the most famous. Probably certainly the iconic,
yeah,
with the tuxedo and the cape and the good evening and wine and all that kind of stuff. And then everyone has their favorite Dracula, their favorite version. Christopher Lee, very famously in the Hammer films. Frank Langella, the romantic Dracula, who I actually saw on stage. That was my first Broadway play.
I'm thinking more like vampires generally when I think Dracula. But yeah. there's how many vampires?
Animated version, Gary Oldman, obviously. But yeah, I mean, pick your poison. You know, definitely one of the most famous villains ever put to film.
Yeah, didn't make my list. A perfectly fair one for yours. It's a good call. I'm going to bring up Dwight Hansen.
Dwight Hansen. Why do I know that name?
Played by Robert De Niro in This Boy's Life.
Wow. Over Cape Fear. Max Cady. Oh, boy.
Yeah, Max Cady's great, too, and De Niro does a great job, but that's a remake, and De Niro's way over the top in that movie, almost to the point where he becomes like a superhuman when he's, you know,
true.
The end. It's almost like a,
no, but This Boy's Life. That's,
Dwight Hansen's more of like a guy you would think you could live next door to, you know, the scarier type. Like Max Cady's clearly crazy the minute you meet him. Whereas Dwight Hansen's like, you know, he's the scout leader. And he's the, you know, the father down the street that helps you, with, you know, with the snow removal. And when you go inside and the doors gets locked, he is an absolute raving lunatic.
Yes, he is.
And really just a bastard, an absolute bastard. Played, again, De Niro, one of his really, as far as, De Niro's played some bad guys over the years. We're talking Max, some others. This is probably his most gross human he's played. Unredeemable person. And again, basically just tortures Leonardo DiCaprio the entire film.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, they just reunited for Killers of the Flower Moon. So now the two actors reunited, 20 years later, 30 years later?
Almost 30, maybe more. Again, it just, it's one that kind of lives rent-free in my brain a lot. He is just, he's a bad guy. And it's a very believable character that he plays. And so, I don't know, when I was putting this list together, I just kept coming back to him. A couple different times. So he's further down the list for sure, but definitely on it. Who do you got?
Next on mine, I don't think this one's on your list, but this is the villain of one of my favorite films of all time, namely a character called the Kurgan in 1986's Highlander. Kind of a cult film. It's been spun off into sequels and a TV show. There's a remake in the works with Henry Cavill playing the lead character. But in this film, the villain, the Kurgan, it's about a story about immortals that live forever, and they hunt each other down over time to fight duels, and by doing so, they can steal each other's power and become more powerful. An actor by the name of, very underrated actor, by the name of Clancy Brown plays the Kurgan. Clancy Brown is one of those actors who you might not know his name, but you've seen him in probably, he's got 329 IMDb credits. He's done everything from, he's been the villain in The Shawshank Redemption, he played a villain in. He was in Bad Boys with Sean Penn. He played the Frankenstein monster in a movie called The Bride. And he's also an extensive voice actor, known most famously as the voice of Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob. And he's also played Lex Luthor in some DC animated stuff. But the Kurgan, just wow, what an intimidating villain. And he plays it with such an evil glee.
Yeah.
You see him in several different iterations when the movie starts in medieval times, and you see him kind of in armor with like a skull helmet, and he's just like a big forceful warrior. Then when it cuts to, because they're immortal, the story moves along to modern day. He's dressed as kind of a biker type with a leather jacket and chains. And then later on, to try to change his appearance, he shaves his head and he puts pins in his neck, and he just looks like the most freakish character ever. But Clancy plays it with such a glee. You know, you just hate this guy and you can't wait to see him fight the hero and, of course, lose.
No, he's a tremendous character actor. He's, like you said, you don't know him, but you you've seen his face.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, that guy. Like J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, sure.
Another guy. Well, who? Oh, that guy. I mean, J.K. Simmons has won an Oscar, but he's also one of those guys that you can't maybe call the name, but you know the face 100%. So that's a good one. My list did not make your list. One of the most haunting villains I can think of over the last 20 years is Anton from No Country for Old Men.
Wow, good choice. Good choice.
I mean, played sinister with the cow prodder and everything else. Like, no emotion, just completely diabolical. And
by Javier Bardem, who also got an Oscar. A lot of our picks are Oscar winners.
Well, I mean, they stand out for a reason. And again, just there's nothing redeeming about this guy. Just an absolute psychopath. No empathy, nothing redeeming about this, but he's just moving forward through life, executing people, and a really bad guy. And yeah, a brilliant, brilliant performance. I mean, just dead eyes.
Yeah. Javier Bardem's one of those interesting actors who can also equally go between hero and villain. You know, he can play the nicest of guys. I think he played Ariel's father in The Little Mermaid.
I just saw him in Lyle the Crocodile.
Yeah, I mean, and then he can play, you know,
which was a terrible
this character
movie.
In No Country for Old Men, and he was the villain in my favorite Bond film, Skyfall.
Yes.
So he goes equally back and forth.
Yeah, great actor, scary, scary guy, and tremendous performance. So he's very high on my list.
Moving on to mine, I've got another female performance, the stuff of childhood nightmares, The Wicked Witch of the West.
Okay.
From 1939's The Wizard of Oz. Played very, very memorably by Margaret Hamilton, who I would think would have gotten a nomination for her performance in that film, but was sadly overlooked. But I think as a child, just the image of that black-clad, black-hat-wearing, green-faced, evil witch who wants nothing more than to kill Dorothy, get her ruby slippers, kill the dog, take over Oz.
That's it.
And be done with it. But
life goals.
Yeah, but fantastic. But obviously, if you're a Broadway fan and you're into Wicked, she's just misunderstood.
Right. And again, played brilliantly well by the actor. Mm-hmm. And that actor went on to appear with children in costume to kind of...
Loved it.
Well, because kids were really scared of her. So I think she did a turn with Mr. Rogers at one point.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
I think it's a very famous, if you Google, I think it's Mr. Rogers, where she went on Mr. Rogers in full costume and they talked how it's only a part. It's not a real life because kids were so, so scared. She was so good and so terrifying that children for decades and decades and decades were being terrified by her. So that's a great choice. Did not make my list, but I can't argue with that one at all.
And then the upcoming Wicked film comes out next Thanksgiving. So we'll see how they translate the Broadway show to film. And Cynthia Erivo is playing the witch in that one. But again, different take on the
character. It's a lot to live up to.
I'm talking about the more gleefully evil original version.
Yes, the true villain. So a couple more on my list that didn't make yours. One, this, again, you cheated with your double feature.
Yes, I did.
So I'm going to cheat with a puppet.
Okay.
I'm going with Bruce the Shark.
Bruce the Shark, okay.
From Jaws.
Again, I considered Jaws. That's one of my all-time favorite movies, probably my top three. But again, like kind of like I was arguing about Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger,
right.
more of just like a force. But I still have issues to this day swimming in the ocean.
Near the ocean.
Because of that movie.
Yeah, no. I would guess of this list, probably we were talking about Hannibal Lecter in 15 minutes of screen time. I'm guessing Bruce the Shark had even less time.
Yeah, and that wasn't the original intention in the film. It's because it kept breaking down.
Bruce
the mechanical
kept,
shark.
Kept breaking down. Kept,
wouldn't come out of his trailer, you know?
Yeah, he was very moody. He was always the craft service. There was a lot. But again, to your point, it terrorized an entire generations of people from not wanting to swim in the ocean. It's one of my top five films of all time, Jaws.
Easily.
And he's the bad guy in my old. So just much like Darth Vader, Bruce the Shark makes my list
and,
as being...
And one of those movies, no matter how many times I've seen it, if I'm just channel surfing one night and Jaws is on, I have to watch it.
They put that, it's a remote drop. Goodfellas, Shawshank, Jaws. There's a few others I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of that. You know, wherever you are in that movie, The Lethal Weapons, I think, would probably be on there for me. Like, mm-hmm. no matter where you're picking it up, You're going to drop the remote, and that's what you're doing for the next however long it takes to finish that movie. So Bruce the Shark made
Bruce
my
the
list.
Shark. Good choice. Good choice.
All right. What do you got?
Right, I'm going to go a little farther back, early 70s or I think it was 71. Scorpio in the original Dirty Harry.
Okay.
Played by Andrew Robinson, a character actor who's been in a lot of stuff over the years. He, again, equally plays between, you know, nicer guys and villains, primarily villains. He usually gets cast as like really sleazy characters. But and I think he never got out of the shadow of this part. But boy, what an irredeemable, evil human being in this movie.
Yeah.
And such a good villain that I think all the Dirty Harry sequels that came after lacked, because the villain just could not live up to how irredeemably evil this man was.
Yeah.
You know, a sniper by trade would just, you know, kill people. A big portion of the movie is spent that he's abducted a girl. He's buried her somewhere with limited oxygen, and he's extorting the city. And then at some point in the movie, Harry catches up to him and tries to beat it out of him. The guy won't give it up. He's like, I changed my mind. I'm going to let her die. And she does.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that Harry has to deal with. And but then when he gets his comeuppance at the end, that was probably one of the most satisfying film moments of all time, when Clint Eastwood gets the drop on this guy. Because what an evil, sleazy, awful human being.
Yeah. Again.
Kidnaps a busload full of kids.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a good call. It's a good one. I have one more on my list. You have another one? Or
I do have one more.
All right, so I have one more.
Might be the same one, I hope. We'll see. Probably not.
No, these are different ones.
All right.
Unless I misread your list before we came on here. On my list, John Doe.
I have him as an honorable mention, which we'll get to in a minute.
John Doe, played by Kevin Spacey in the film Seven. Again, another serial killer. That's at least, what, two or three or four, five? If you're counting Bruce the Shark, maybe five serial killers on this list. That's six with Freddy. Most, I guess
if
apparently,
you're a serial killer, you might make these lists fairly easy.
Apparently, as far as villains go, I've got a type. but yeah, played amazingly well by Kevin Spacey back when he was still allowed to be an actor.
That is true.
Before he was made to go away. But, I mean, again, talk about famous quotes and famous what's in the box, obviously. You know, the whole ending of that movie. And
I put that on par with the end of Dirty Harry, where when he gets confronted at the end, you just want this man
he's
taken apart.
Just in the way he's killing people. I mean, Seven as a film in 1996, so it's coming up on 30 years, that movie. That movie holds up. If that movie came out today, it would be a smash hit, and they wouldn't have to change a thing with CGI. It is a fantastic movie.
Cruelty from that man in that movie.
He is a despicable character, but, man, it is played so, so well by Kevin Spacey. He's just quietly menacing. You know, people talk about Kaiser Soze. He makes a lot of lists and stuff when other people rank these. But, man, John Doe is by far the most sinister role he's played. So that's the last on my list.
And the last one on my list, very popular villain, I think, on a lot of other people's lists, is Hans Gruber from the original Die Hard.
Yes.
Very memorably by Alan Rickman.
He was close. There was a few, hanging around the bottom of my list, and he certainly was one of them that I had to cut. But yeah, that's a great choice.
Another actor who, going into Die Hard, I had never heard of before, but when I came out of Die Hard, boy, I was like, that guy's a fantastic actor. And he played that part with, there was always like a stillness and a calmness in his voice.
Yeah.
And then he would strike out in moments of violence.
Right.
And then you would find out his real intention. You think he's a terrorist, but then you find out he's not really a terrorist. He's a thief. But he's willing to blow up a building and kill everyone in it just to get the...
Yes, he's committed
to get his fortune.
He's committed to his end goal. Great choice. Yeah, great character. Gets his comeuppance at the end for sure. And then, there's one last thing at the end of that movie where the guy that looks just like you is killed. if you've ever seen a picture of Sky, you have to look at these videos. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Sky was
in... I don't want neutral, I want dead.
Yeah,
there's a hint.
Sky was in Die Hard for those watching.
My earlier days.
Yeah, he's retired into private life now to work.
I'm surprised how many people say that to me. When I meet them, they're like, you look like that guy.
You could do
Die
conventions.
Hard.
If he hadn't passed away, you could
maybe
go do conventions.
Maybe I should. I could use some extra money.
Yeah, gray hair a little farther.
There we go.
You'd be good. But yeah, I mean, if you have to look up Scott here and we'll use the videos, our recap videos, you'll see what I'm talking about. But so those are our lists. So I guess we should rank these suckers, well, right?
Let's do some honorable mentions. Oh. Is there anybody who didn't make your
list? I think a lot of the people that didn't make my list made yours, so we've already talked about them. So who else you got?
I was just thinking about this. I mean, we had the Marvel villains, so we could very easily have mentioned Thanos or the Green Goblin or Doc Ock. I mean, those are some interesting comic book villains. Mm. But then also I've got the Gollum from the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Gollum was one I toyed around with.
Yeah, Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I see more as a literary character, but obviously some of these are literary characters anyway. But Voldemort, the evil queen in Snow White, Norman Bates.
Yeah.
You had mentioned Kaiser Soze from The Usual Suspects. That's another good choice.
Yeah, I don't like that film.
No? Okay, fair enough.
One of my least favorite.
Great twist. Great twist.
The last 10 minutes are phenomenal. The rest leading up to it is a pile of nothing, in my opinion. It's one of my more unpopular.
Well, when you see the twist, that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, but it's one of my, like, I was in film school in the 90s, and they were doing films of the 90s.
Yeah.
And I successfully argued it off the syllabus.
Good job.
With the teacher who was on the fence. She was going to include that or... Some Tarantino movie, and I argue The Usual Suspects off the list because that's how little I like that movie. But he's great in it, and the character, you know, the twist at the end is great, but everything leading up to it is, you know, I think you take it or leave it. But we're not here to talk about that.
Okay.
So anybody else you got?
No, that's everybody. That's my list.
All right. So I guess let's rank these. So again, Pop Ranks Podcast, ranking the best villains in cinema history. If you want to hear we're going to give the 10 through 1 now for both of us. But if you want to hear the full reasons why, you listen to the rest of the episode. So number 10 on my list is Dwight Hansen from This Boy's Life.
Okay. My number 10 was my cheat, my combo, my bad caretakers was Nurse Ratched and Annie Wilkes.
All right. Number 9 was kind of my cheat. I used a puppet, and that was Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
My 9 was Scorpio from Dirty Harry.
Okay, number 8 on my list, Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, the worst guy in my favorite film.
Number 8 on my list, The Wicked Witch of the West.
All right. Number 7, I had Hans Landa.
That is my number 7 as well.
Okay.
We go.
From?
Inglourious Bastards. Tarantino's Inglourious Bastards.
Tremendous film. Number 6 on my list, John Doe from David Fincher's 7, played by Kevin Spacey.
Excellent choice. My number 6 is Dracula.
All right. My number 5 is also a horror character from my favorite franchise, Freddy Krueger.
Number 5 for me, the Kurgan from Highlander.
All right. Number 4 on my list is the Joker. And again, as we discussed, I'm keeping the Joker in mind, specifically Heath Ledger's Joker.
Heath Ledger's Joker. Okay. Number 4 for me, Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
All right. Number 3 for me is Anton from No Country for Old Men.
Number 3, Hannibal Lecter.
He's my number 2, Hannibal Lecter.
Great choice. My number 2, the Joker.
Okay, so we got our top 5.
I would focus on Heath Ledger as my favorite Joker, but I thought of it more of just in a sense of the character itself.
And our number 1, identical.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader from a little film we like to call Star
Little
Wars.
Independent film you may have heard of.
A little indie picture made in the late 70s called.
Yeah, it's a shame it doesn't get that much recognition anymore.
Kind of a forgotten classic. So anyway, that's our list of Hollywood cinematic villains. What did we get right? What did we get wrong? Let us know. Tell us your list. Who's your favorites? Again, very possible we forgot a handful of really good choices. So until we see you next time, or to talk to you next time, I should say, here on Pop Ranks, I'm Eric Wickstrom.
And I'm Scott Carroll.
And we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Pop Ranks, an IDC production. Produced and hosted by Scott Carroll and Eric Wickstrom. Audio engineer, Paul Levin. Executive producer, Marcy Gilbert. Remember to like and subscribe.